Today's reading is Psalm 21, and that can be found on page 553 in the Church Bibles. So that's Psalm 21, page 553. The King rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days, forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. When you appear for battle, you will burn them up as in a blazing furnace. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and his fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, their posterity from mankind. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. You will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with the drawn bow. Be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me lead us in a prayer by reading a verse from Psalm 27 as we come to Psalm 21. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Amen. Now, are you looking for a bit of joy this summer? Yeah, I think we're all looking for a little bit of joy this summer. Well, all it's going to cost you is £64.50. With that money, all you have to do is go down the hill to Boots and look in their little kind of seasonal section for the Summer of Joy gift box. Here's a picture. There it is. Summer of Joy gift box. In it, there's a range of perfumes and candles and creams and lotions. If you buy it and you read what it says on the back, it's promising to transform your life and to bring you a summer of joy, a joyful life moving forward. All right, I know that we're not going to go out and buy the gift box. Well, you might, and let me know how it goes for you. But we all want joy this summer, don't we? And we want our lives to be joyful. And so as we think about our summer so far, how have we got on with finding joy this summer? I expect lots of us have struggled. That kind of hasn't quite lived up to the expectations. And there's all sorts of reasons why. It might be that it's just been missing for you. You sort of lacked joy this summer. Struggled with our summers so far, it's been hard. And talk of joy, while it kind of sounds a bit more distant, not kind of what's immediately gettable. Or maybe you have had moments of joy, you really have, but it's been way too easy to enjoy those things, but ignore the giver who has given them to us. We're sort of out of the routine of normal life, and so God, well, he seems kind of distant and disconnected from the good times that we have had over the summer. If that sort of describes you at all, then the wonderful news is this morning that Psalm 21 tells us how all of us, however we're feeling, can get some joy this summer, how we can joyfully praise God. And let's have a look there at verse 1. Verse 1, the king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give. to the King of God's people is full of praise. He has got great joy. He's got great delight, and he's got it in God. And there at the beginning of the psalm is written by King David. But King David was always writing and talking about King Jesus. The king in Psalm 21 is King Jesus. You know, the first readers of this psalm when it was written down, before the New Testament, they did a bit of graffiti. They were into that kind of thing. So the first ever edition of Psalm 21 that was written down, you got a scribe, and he's got his pen out, and he graffitied over the top of, or just above, the word King, Messiah. The first ever readers of this knew that it was all, Psalm 21 was all about King Jesus. And it is King Jesus who is full of joy and full of delight in God. And if we belong to the King, if we're connected to the King, then our destiny, our journey, our experiences are interwoven together. And don't we know that with King Jesus? If we're united with him, we're connected with him, his destiny becomes our destiny. So Jesus' joy, his praising God, that we get there in verse 1, is to be ours as well. And we see that in verse 13, the very end of the psalm. Verse 13, be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might. So we're now to join in with King Jesus' joy. But what is this joy of Jesus that's to be ours as well? Well, jump back to verse 1. It says there, the second half, how great is his joy in the victories you give. So Jesus and our joy is to be based on the victory God gives, or his deliverance, or his saving of his king and his people. Psalm 21 shows us those victories. One of those victories is in the past, and the other is in the future. And God willing, we're going to see these victories, and it will hopefully help us praise our God to have great joy in Jesus. So, firstly, let's be joyful in Jesus' past victory. Now, here's a t-shirt that I have had for quite a long time. It's a bit crumpled, but there at the bottom, 2005, 2006, I got this t-shirt. Why have I had this t-shirt for such a long time, you might think? Well, if you can make it out, Champions, Reading Football Club. And my beloved Reading Football Club, a few laughs going on, my beloved Reading Football Club won promotion to the Football Premier League in 2005 and 6. You have to go quite a long way back for that moment of joy. But it was wonderful when I celebrated with them all those years ago when they were promoted to the Premiership. Their victory, their win brought me great, great joy. And the joyful victory that God brings about for King Jesus is the victory of the cross. It's the victory of the resurrection and his return to his home with his Father in heaven. That's the win that we want to be joyful about and remember. Now, when we think about the cross that we think about a lot at church as Christians, rightly so, we often think about what the cross means for us, our redemption, our salvation, our adoption, which is all good to do. But we don't often think about what the cross brings Jesus, do we? What does it bring Jesus? Well, Psalm 21 shows us. You see, the victory of the cross brings Jesus his heart's desire. In verse 2, you see, his heart's desire. Before the creation of the world, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had as their heart's desire to send Jesus to die on the cross, to make God's enemies his friends. And that desire is granted at the cross. And the victory of the cross also brings Jesus, verse 3, a crown of blessing. As you look at the cross, it might not seem like a moment of blessing, but more of curse. But it is a public demonstration of God's blessing on King Jesus. It's as if Jesus wears that crown. From human eyes, it's a crown of thorns. But from God's perspective, through his eyes, it's a crown of honor or a crown of gold. But the victory of the cross also brings Jesus, verse 4, long life. Verse 4, he asked you for life and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. You see, God promised King David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that an eternal king and an eternal kingdom would come from his line. And that king is Jesus. And the empty tomb, the resurrection, Easter Day morning, is the proof that Jesus now has life forever and ever and ever. But the victory of the cross also brings Jesus great glory in verse 5. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. So God gave Jesus great glory and splendor and majesty, not despite the cross, but through the cross and the tomb. Because of that journey that Jesus walked, he is now more famous, more impressive, more weighty, more glorious than he would have otherwise been. And lastly, the victory of the cross also brings Jesus into God's presence. Verse 6. As Jesus returned after he had risen, back to his Father in heaven, back into God's presence, it's where he is happy, where he wants to be, where he's glad he is, enjoying being face to face with God his Father again. And so the victory of the cross brought Jesus, in a word, joy. Joy. Or as Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us, for the joy, again, set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy. You see, the victory of the cross brought Jesus joy. But I wonder, sometimes, do we think that Jesus went begrudgingly to the cross? It's kind of like his arm was twisted and he had to do it, and it's a bit of a shame, and he was rather annoyed at the fact that it was him that had to go to the cross. We sometimes think of it like that. But please don't. It's not like that at all. Jesus went to the cross for you with joy. Is that amazing? His heart was overflowing for you as he died on the cross. He rejoiced in the victory of the cross so that he could win you back. And so in our search, if you like, to reclaim or reorientate our joy, do we need to hear that? That Jesus' heart was overflowing for joy, with joy for you as he went to the cross. And if you're searching for joy this summer, maybe for the very first time, pondering Jesus' past victory at the cross is where it's at. The cross is the greatest joy bringer. And through faith in God's unfailing love, it can be yours. And if you're looking to reclaim or reorientate your joy, enjoy Jesus' victory at the cross this summer. For what it means for Jesus, and then the impact, the power that it has on our lives today. So the question, maybe to chat about afterwards, is what might help you praise God for the cross the rest of this summer? Now, if you're like me, it's really easy to take what happened 2,000 years ago at the cross for granted. And so, if you're like me, maybe for the rest of this summer, maybe you want to go back to basics. It's like the famous preacher John Stott. He made sure that he started every single day with a prayer, saying thank you to God for the cross, for salvation. Maybe you want to do something similar or something different to help us go back to basics and have great joy at the cross again. That sort of thing is something small, but it might help us. It might help us see the impact, the transformation that the cross has on our joy today. And maybe if we're joyful, but without God, a simple prayer of praise will help reorientate that joy again, so that Jesus is our joy, and then we can enjoy his gifts that kind of flow out from that. Jesus' past victory is one massive reason to praise God, to have joy in Jesus this summer. But there's another reason to be joyful in Jesus, and it's his final victory too. So let's see that. Let's be joyful in Jesus' final future victory. You see, the psalm now, it sort of changes focus. It moves away from the past victory of Jesus to the future. Verse 8, your hand will. Verse 9, the Lord will. Verse 10, you will. Verse 12, you will. The focus very much is will. It's all future focus now. It's speaking of Jesus' return, with a day that our faith will be turned into sight, when God's people will live in peace and safety and security with God forever. But for that day to happen, when Jesus returns, God's enemies must be defeated by God. Otherwise, there's no peace and no security. You see, no nation can be safe when a powerful enemy is close. Right? Let's do a little quiz at this point. Which country is this flag from? Shout it out. South Korea. Well done. That's right. Now, life in South Korea, I'm told, is pretty good at the moment. Recently, it's the home of a vibrant economy. It's got the fastest internet speeds in the world. It's got some of the fastest trains in the world. It has got some great food. Korean fried chicken, kimchi, to name a few. And it's got very, very popular pop music called K-pop. And if there are any teenagers here, I'm sure they'll tell us all about K-pop. It's a global sensation. It's also got a strong military. It's got a great democracy. Life in South Korea is pretty good. But despite all this, South Korea will never be safe as long as its neighbor is North Korea with its nuclear weapons and its army. You see, no nation can be safe when a powerful enemy is close. However, we can get rid of South Korea now. Sorry, South Korea. God makes the kingdom of Jesus safe by defeating his enemies. How different that is. It's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. You know, we pray, your kingdom come. We did that a few moments ago. We're praying for this final day when Jesus returns, when all God's enemies and all their kingdoms are defeated, and only Jesus' kingdom and Jesus the King remains. That's Jesus' final victory. And what will this victory over God's enemies look like? Well, there'll be discovery, firstly. Verse 8, your hand will lay hold of all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. On that day when Jesus returns, there'll be no hiding from God. If someone is against God, they'll be found out by him. He knows and sees all. But there'll also be defeat. Verse 9, when you appear for battle, you will burn them up as in a blazing furnace. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and his fire will consume them. Isn't that a shocking image? It's a sober warning, I think, to all of us this morning. God is holy, and we really are not. And we're to approach him with a healthy fear, with a respect for God and his holiness. But for those who don't fear him, respect him, verse 11, but who plot evil against God, wicked schemes to take down King Jesus, then they will be defeated. God is just. Those who plot to overthrow King Jesus won't get away with it. And remember, this is God's battle. It's not ours to take on ourselves. Jesus will return, and he will bring in his kingdom of justice. And that is, at our heart, what we all want, where all wrongs are put right, when evil and hurt and pain are ended, when enemies to God are defeated. But you might be sitting here sort of wondering about those verses and those realities. Maybe it definitely has for me this week, making us feel uncomfortable. They're slightly disturbing, right? And maybe joy, well, it's kind of the last word you'd use to describe it. But I think if we asked some of our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world about this, I think we get a very different response. I think Jesus' return, bringing an end to their enemies and bringing them safety and security, it would absolutely bring them joy. And so if you're around Wednesday night for our summer link, as we pray for our mission partners, pray for our persecuted church, we can pray Psalm 21 for them. Joy in Jesus' past and future victory. And maybe here in the UK, as our culture moves kind of from being politely anti-God to much more aggressively against God and his people, then I think we'll start joining our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world a little bit more. We'll start to feel the pressure and the pain and the persecution for being a Christian. And then maybe Psalm 21, well, we'll feel a little bit different about it. And as we think about God's enemies, ultimately, the enemy that lies behind all of God's enemies is Satan and his awful accomplices, sin and death. And Jesus' final victory will destroy those greatest enemies. And so just imagine for a moment how good it will be when Jesus comes back. Just imagine your joy when Satan is defeated. Just imagine your joy when sin in your life and in the world is done away with. Just imagine your joy when all suffering that you experience is deleted. Just imagine your unending joy when death is destroyed forever. Wow. King Jesus' future, his final victory, it is a joyful event. It does lead us to praise God. It does lead us to be joyful in Jesus. And sort of if you want to think more about it, if you want sort of some help even to become more joyful in his return, if you're not sort of feeling that right now, well, maybe over the next week, pick up your Bibles, flick to the very last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. Read those, because they're all about Jesus' final return. And I assure you, they will make you joyful. So this summer, lacking joy or kind of getting it in the wrong places, let's go back to basics. Let's gaze upon Jesus' victory, his past victory, his future victory. I tell you what, it won't cost you £64.50. Those victories will cost you absolutely nothing, but they are worth absolutely everything. Let me pray. The King rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give. Father, we praise you so much for the victories that you give your King, Jesus, and your people, us. And Lord, we pray that this summer, the rest of this summer, we might sort of recalibrate a little bit, reorientate, reclaim our joy in Jesus' past and future victories. We thank you for them. And Lord, if we need to sort of pause and go back to basics and remind ourselves of what happened at the cross and what's going to happen when you return. We pray that the space of the summer might do that, so that we might be those that are led to praise our good and faithful and loving God, Father, Saviour and Spirit. And we pray this through the merits and in the name of Jesus. Amen.